Please take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 10, verses 24 through 33. Acts chapter 10, verses 24 through 33. Remember, God's word is holy, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative. Acts chapter 10, verse 24. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I send to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God.'" May the Lord bless the reading of His own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our mighty God, we come before your holy word. Father, may we tremble at your word. Lord, you said, "Is not my word like a fire, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" Lord, we acknowledge that your word is like a fire, and your word is like a hammer that can break a rock into pieces. Lord, speak to us your powerful word that can transform our hearts. Oh Lord, help us to be attentive to you as we hear your word. Remove all distractions. Help us to focus upon your word. Help us to focus upon you, O God. Father, we pray for the guidance and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you the type of person who gathers people to hear God's word? Perhaps it could be at the church or house or somewhere. When somebody brings God's word, do you persuade others, especially the unbelievers, to come and hear God's word? Or do you not care? Or you do not bother whether people hear God's word or not? Well, let us see what we can learn from Cornelius in this passage? And are you the kind of person who seeks attention, recognition, and exaltation? Do you submit to God's word so that He can change your attitude and behavior? Sometimes it can be very hard to change. But let us find the answers to all these questions in today's passage. And let us not forget the big picture found in chapter 10. This is an important chapter which marks clearly the inclusion of the Gentiles into the church. In this chapter, the Gentiles, who were historically regarded as unclean, now God declares them clean. And Luke focuses on two primary characters in this chapter. The first character is Cornelius, the Roman centurion who resided in Caesarea. We are told by Luke that he was a generous man. He was a God-fearer. He prayed to God frequently. And one key thing about Cornelius is this: he was a Gentile. And this Gentile had a vision. In that vision, God directed him to send men to bring Peter, who was residing in Simon the Tanner's house in Joppa. The second character is Peter. Peter, on the other hand, also had a vision from God. He had an extraordinary vision. In that vision, he saw animals and he heard the voice of the Lord commanding him to rise, kill, and eat. Now, what does that vision mean? Today we will learn the meaning of that vision in Peter's own statement. We also learn that the man sent by Cornelius accompanied Peter back to Caesarea. So what happened next? That we will see in today's text. So today we are going to examine this text under three headings. Number one, crowd assembled, verses 24, 27, and 29 through 33. Second, humility displayed, verses 25 through 26. And third, attitude changed, verses 28 and 29a. Crowd assembled, humility displayed, attitude changed. So let us begin by looking at the first heading, crowd assembled. Peter and nine men left Joppa and traveled a long journey. It was a 35 miles on foot, and it was a day travel, and finally they arrived at Caesarea the next day. And who were these men? Three men sent by Cornelius and six men were from Joppa. And that we learn from Acts chapter 11 verse 12. There we read, "Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house." So in total, 10 men set from Joppa to Caesarea. So when Peter arrived at the house of Cornelius, he had a surprise waiting for him. And what was that surprise? He saw an enthusiastic crowd assembled in his house. And who are these people? Look at verse 24. "Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends." Cornelius called his relatives and close friends, and they were all eagerly waiting for Peter and his company. Now, why did Cornelius call his relatives and close friends? Now we must hear the conversation between Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius reiterated his vision to Peter, and that is found in verses 29b through 33, and I will read it quickly. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Of course, this man was the angel. Verse 31, and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. So look at verse 32. When he, referring to Peter, comes, he will speak to you. And this is what was told by the angel of God to Cornelius in his vision. So Cornelius heeded the command of the angel, and he acted immediately. So he sent his men immediately to bring Peter to Caesarea so that he can hear Peter speak. Now, do you see the immediate obedience found in Cornelius? Do you see how he acted promptly without wasting time? He wanted to hear the message of God from Peter. So he sent for Peter. See, Cornelius did not want to hear the message of God alone, but he wanted many to hear. Many. Look at verse 27. And as he, referring to Peter, talked with him, Cornelius, and as Peter talked with Cornelius, Peter went in and found many who had come together. See, it was not just Cornelius or his family. Many. So many people gathered at the house of Cornelius, the relatives and close friends. In other words, Cornelius rounded them for one purpose. And what does this show? The zealousness of Cornelius for others to hear God's message. He was not selfish that he should only hear God's message for himself. He wanted others to hear. He wanted many people to hear the message of God. Now, how many of us are like Cornelius? Do we desire for others to hear the gospel? Why are we not zealous to call our relatives and close friends to hear God's word? What about our wives, husbands, children, relatives, friends, and neighbors? Do we care for the salvation of our loved ones? Let us make diligent effort to invite others to hear God's word. Now, we are not talking about some kind of secular seminar or talk. We are not talking about man's talk. We are talking about listening to God's word, which is useful, necessary, and applicable for all times. Listen to verse 33. Cornelius said, "Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." Do you sense the enthusiasm found in the crowd? You know, this statement of Cornelius declares at least three things. Number one, the crowd's attitude towards God. They acknowledged the presence of God. They had the fear of God. They had the reverence for God. Number two, the crowd's high regard for God's word. Look at verse 33. The things commanded by God to you. See, they had a very high view of God's word. That's why they were assembled there. Number three, the crowd's readiness to hear and receive God's word. The crowd's readiness to hear and receive God's word. What an enthusiastic crowd. This crowd had a great enthusiasm to receive God's word. Now, shall we examine ourselves? Do we come into God's presence with such enthusiasm to hear God's word? And why do we lack enthusiasm for God's word? You know what? Because we do not believe in the power of God's word. Otherwise, we will ensure that our children do not go anywhere or do anything except to hear God's word on Sunday. By the way, remember, this crowd did not consist of believers, but unbelievers. Cornelius, his relatives, and his close friends had not known Christ yet. They were not saved yet. Now, how much more we as Christians should be enthusiastic to hear God's word? While the enthusiastic crowd at Cornelius' house gathered to hear Peter, what else can we learn from this passage? Peter's humility. So we come to the second heading. Peter's humility displayed, verses 25 and 26. Humility displayed. Luke presents to us a graphic report of what happened as Peter entered the house of Cornelius. Look at verse 25. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Did you hear that? Cornelius fell down at the feet of Peter and worshipped him. And the Greek word that is used there is proskuneo. Proskuneo means worship. Why should Cornelius fall at the feet of Peter and much more worship him? Here we must understand the time and place where Cornelius lived. Cornelius lived under the rule of Romans. He himself was a Roman centurion. In those days, the Roman citizens regarded the emperor as God, the small god. People were required not to look at the emperor, but prostrate and worship. Well, Cornelius did not know who was Peter, but God revealed Peter to him in the vision. Moreover, the angel commanded him to listen to the words of Peter. Cornelius, being a commander who gave commands to his 100 men, was now commanded to listen to Peter. So Peter must have been held in great honor Naturally, when Peter entered the house of Cornelius, his first response was to prostrate before Peter at his feet and worship him. But what I would like you to notice here is the humility of Peter. Look at verse 26. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." See, Peter would not allow a commander to fall at his feet, for Peter was once a fisherman. He was not greater than Cornelius in status. And Peter quickly asserted the equality between human beings. Peter implied that he was not God and did not deserve to be worshipped. Indeed, he was a mere man like Cornelius, a man created after God's image, just like Cornelius. But then note, Peter was not seeking attention, recognition, and exaltation. You know, in the first century, the Pharisees were seeking honor, but not Peter. Even Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in this way. Luke chapter 11, verse 43. Jesus said, "Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces." The Pharisees were seeking attention, recognition, and exaltation in the synagogues and marketplaces. But Peter was not like them. So Peter expected no attention, recognition, and exaltation from Cornelius. From whom did Peter learn humility? His master Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And let me read that passage quickly. Who, referring to Christ, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. See, Jesus being God, he humbled himself by becoming man and a servant and suffered and died on the cross. So we should imitate Jesus to be humble. We should not expect attention, recognition, and exaltation as we serve Christ in his church. In any case, only one person deserves our reverence and worship, and that is Jesus Christ. Although we observe Peter's humility in this passage, at the same time we must not discard the change of attitude displayed by Peter. So we come to the third heading, attitude change, verses 28 and 29. After Peter had exhorted Cornelius to stand up and claim that he was also a man, he declared a general known truth about a typical Jewish man. Listen to this in verse 28. Then he, referring to Peter said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation," another nation referring to Gentile. "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation." See, Peter was saying this because it was the first time A Gentile had invited him into his house, and there he was in the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. There are two things to consider here. Number one, a Jewish person would have no acquaintance with a Gentile. Second, a Jewish person would not visit a Gentile home or eat with a Gentile. Why? Because the Gentiles were considered unclean. And that is why this chapter is very important, and especially Peter's vision from God. Peter, being a Jewish man, did not have any acquaintance with a Gentile. He had not visited a Gentile's house or ate with a Gentile until now. Apparently, a barrier existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. But all those things would be changed soon because of Peter's vision from God. Listen to the words of Peter in verse 28b. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Of course, he must have remembered the vision from God. In that vision, God said, in verse 15, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was what God told Peter. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. So was God more concerned about the animals in that vision? Was God more concerned about food? Was God concerned about eating pork in that vision? No, certainly not. God was not referring to animals, but Gentiles. And this was the turning point for Peter. This was the turning point for Peter, the devout Jewish man, that he should no longer consider the Gentiles as unclean people. Because God regards the Gentiles as clean. Therefore, God has removed the barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles. So the vision was to reveal to Peter of the new covenant, whereby the gospel is now open to the Gentiles. The vision was about the inclusion of Gentiles into the church. From Peter's declaration, it is clear that his attitude was changed towards the Gentiles. And that was the purpose of the vision from God to Peter. Do you notice what changed Peter's attitude and behavior? God's word. God's word changed Peter's attitude and behavior. You know, week after week, you're hearing God's word. Is God's word changing your heart? Is it changing your attitude and behavior? Do you know why there is no change in you after hearing God's word? Week after week? Because you do not regard God's word as God's word. You're not serious in receiving God's word. Perhaps you do not come prepared to receive God's word. So I urge you to be like the Thessalonians, to receive God's word as God's word and receive it gladly. Let us not be just hearers of God's word, but doers of God's word. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. You know, there had been many who came to this church and left because they came for wrong purposes. They just came to check the box of attendance. Their hearts were far from the Lord. So I urge you, do not be like them. Pray that God will use these words to change your heart, attitude, and behavior. Look at how God changed Peter's heart, attitude, and behavior. Well, in this passage, we examine three headings: crowd assembled, humility displayed, attitude changed. Before I leave this text, I want to say at least three things. You know, Cornelius had a vision and received instructions from the angel of God. Peter had a vision and received a new revelation from God. The new revelation was about the inclusion of Gentiles in the church. Number one, do not expect to see visions from God or hear God's voice like what Cornelius and Peter had experienced. Do not be deceived. Today, God has revealed to us in the Bible all that we need to know about God, His Son, Jesus, redemption for sinners, and how man is to live on this earth. We hear God's voice only through His Word, the Bible. Today, the Bible is sufficient for our faith and practice. If we seek vision and voices, then we are saying that the Bible is not enough. So be careful. The Bible is more than enough to live our Christian life on this earth. Do not expect to see visions from God or hear God's voice. Number two, let us hear God's voice in the Scriptures. Let us not be distracted by other voices. The enemies of the church are attempting to bring divisions in the church. Let us not be naive and give into the hands of the enemies. Let the Scripture guide us. Let nothing change the way we have been worshiping God for centuries. Let us imitate the humility of Christ and submit to the power of the Scriptures to change our attitude and behavior. Let us hear God's voice in the Scriptures. Number three, do you see the love of God for the Gentiles like you and me? The church is not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles like us. You know, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, there we read, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." These are the words of Jesus Christ. Christ came into this earth to give His life as a ransom for many people. How can we simply be watching and doing nothing as we see many people perishing in hell without knowing Jesus? The Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, etc. So let us gather many people to come into the presence of God, to hear all the things of God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Father, we help us to learn from Cornelius to have enthusiasm for Your Word. Help us to learn from Peter concerning humility. Help us to be like Peter, that our hearts, our attitudes, our behaviors might be changed by Your Word. Lord, as we enter this new week, cause us to be ambassadors for Christ. Help us to live a life that pleases You, O God, and help us to bring many people into the church to hear your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.